Hello and good morning and welcome to a series of audios designed to help you to understand what's involved in somebody trying to get elected to the Irish Parliament. I'm here with John Gilroy, who's a candidate for the Cork North Central constituency in Ireland. And we're going to be together over many months trying to make as clear as possible what's involved in Irish politics. So good morning, John.
Morning, Paul.
John, look, yes, the last time we spoke, I found out a lot more about you than I knew. And over the next few months, we'll gradually talk more about what makes you tick, what you stand for, your ideas and what you're doing. But look, just to put it in context, nobody can actually get elected to Parliament without having a team of people around them. Could you just give me a bit of an idea what kind of a team you think you need in order, or you're involved with, in this campaign?
Well, this campaign, Paul, is a little bit different from the normal Labour campaigns that are generally run in Cork North Central, our constituency here. The Labour Party, for the first time, are running two candidates. So Kathleen Lynch is the incumbent TD, she's a sitting TD.
Oh, she was elected last time?
Yes.
When was the last election?
2007.
Okay, 2000, yeah.
So Kathleen is a sitting TD, and because the Labour Party are doing so well nationally at the moment, a decision was taken maybe 18 months ago that we should attempt to secure two seats in the next general election. So Kathleen will be contesting, and I was lucky enough to be nominated last June. And so I'd be the other candidate on the ticket.
Are you what's called the running mate?
Well, I suppose that's what I'd be called. But of course, I consider myself to be that Kathleen might be my running mate. Oh, that's a joke.
Yeah.
We're running two. It's a change for the Labour Party to do it. The opinion polls are showing us to be in the mid-20s, which is probably twice what we were at the last election. So there is, with a good gale of wind behind us, a real possibility that we can secure two out of four seats here for the Labour Party.
So, okay, so what I've learned so far is that in the campaign, there's also another candidate, Kathleen Lynch, two of you in the same constituency. But come on, tell us a bit more about who else is involved on your side. Who do you have helping you? Do you have an election agent? All those kind of things. I really don't understand much about this.
Okay, so because there's two candidates, the structure of the campaign is based around a director of elections for the constituency. He's a guy called Declan Walsh. Declan's a lecturer in law, and he's a particularly good guy.
And where does he live?
Declan lives in Cove and works in UCC. So Declan,
that's the university in Cork.
Cork.
Yeah, okay, Cork, okay, yeah. Great, okay.
So Declan will be the director of elections. Now, directly beneath Declan, we'll say, will be the election agents for the respective candidates. So my election agent is Owen O'Leary, and Kathleen's election agent is Bernard Lynch. So, and below that again, this is the administrative side of it, is the individual respective teams of candidate teams, we call them.
So on the one hand, you have two candidates, then you have one director of elections, you have an election agent for each of them, and then each candidate has their own team.
Correct. Now, there'll be a deal of overlap on this, as you could imagine. And the way the Labour Party works is we consider ourselves to be one team here in the constituency. The current representative level of the Labour Party in Cork North Central is we have one TD and there are four councillors. The constituency is an unusual constituency in that it comprises two local authority areas. It comprises Cork County Council and Cork City Council.
Is it a big constituency, would you say? Like, in physically, is it a big in terms of numbers of electors, or is it big in terms of geography?
Both, and very varied as well. There is about 90,000 voters in the constituency, and the constituency is varied in the regard that 60% of the population of the constituency live in the city, in the north side of Cork City, and 40% then in the county.
Kind of near here, really.
Well, in the city, yep, very near here.
We're in Glenmire. Where are the other main places that people live?
Well, I mean, the rural part of the constituency goes from Glenthorne, Glenmire, Dublin Hill, Blarney, Tower, and it goes all the way north as far as Mallow, not including Mallow, but all the way as far as Mallow. So that's a very large geographical area. and that comprises 40% of the electorate. The other 60% then are in the city, which are Tivoli, Mayfield, Montanati, and all the way across the north of the city.
So you have, yeah. I'm just struck by there, you have both the Mayfield and Montanati. Now, I don't know Cork all that well, right? But these are two opposite ends of the social spectrum, aren't they? One Montanati has a reputation for being full of rich people, and Mayfield has a reputation for being full of poor people.
Well, that probably isn't true anymore, Paul. One time that might have been true. Montanati was seen as a more affluent part of Cork, but really the social changes that have taken place over the last, I suppose, 10-20 years has seen a greater social mix occurring in both areas. So while it is perceived to be that, I'm not sure if that still pertains.
But I was just, what made me think was, here's a guy who's gone up for election and he has to appeal to several different social classes. You know, if you're going to get votes from in this constituency, it sounds to me as if there's a good wide cross spectrum of people and in different situations.
Yeah, I suppose social class in Ireland, Paul, I suppose your experience of politics is from the UK really, but Irish politics doesn't break down on the lines of social class, generally speaking. I mean, the old Civil War politics is unfortunately very much alive in Ireland. I mean, we have Fianna Fáil, which represented one side of the Civil War split, and Fine Gael, which represents the other side. And historically, I suppose, Labour was asked to step aside in favour of the national question, and that was a grave mistake that Labour did. Labour actually did make a decision that they would step aside during the great national debates of the 1920s, and I don't think the Labour Party have fully ever recovered from that.
Do you have an... This is very historical stuff. Do you actually have an interest, John, in your... normally, in history? I mean, do you have a serious interest in Irish history?
Oh, I do, Paul, yeah. I mean, I think it's... I think everyone should have an interest in Irish history, but especially someone who puts themselves up to be a public representative certainly needs to know the historical context in which they're working. Because very often in elections, and this is a great failing of the Irish electoral system, is that politics in Ireland takes place from election to election. And I'm afraid a great mistake is made by a lot of candidates that they think that the next election is actually the end of history, instead of being a continuing of what goes before and what will come afterwards.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, today is the beginning of the future and all that. Yeah. Look, okay, enough about all those very general questions. Give me some nitty-gritty details of what have you been doing in the last couple of days to help yourself get elected. Now, we spoke before about a vehicle, a van, and you spoke about meetings. Anything else you've been doing?
Okay, at the moment, Paul, I'm a politician who believes in making myself available to the public all the time. And generally, people don't come to see their politicians. So what I have been doing for the last 6 years since I've been elected, I've been actually out there meeting people on their own doorsteps. So two evenings a week, for about an hour and a half each evening, I just stop off my car at a particular area, get out of the car and walk around, knock the doors and have a chat with people. However, I'm a little wary of doing that at the moment, because the level of cynicism and anger out there, directed towards the government generally, is such that I think people think that all politicians are the same.
Are you saying that you think it isn't safe for you to go and knocking on people's doors?
No, I'm not saying it's not safe, but it's certainly not popular, Paul. People are saying all politicians are the same, and the first politician that knocks at the door acts as a lightning rod for all the disaffection that's out there. And I suppose people are angry, they're right to be angry, but I have to say that all politicians, Paul, are not the same.
Okay, so tell me, how many people did you speak to yesterday in your political life? Just give me a rough, crude estimate. This is about nearly my last question, okay. Right? So I'm giving you a minute to gather your thoughts now. About how many people did you speak to? On the phone, walking down the street, any other way you spoke to them?
I suppose I'm on night duty now, Paul, so this is only the part-time side of my job, politics, until the end of the week when I'll be off and I'll be ahead full-time. But I suppose I took maybe 20 phone calls yesterday about varied and different things, from things like a broken water pipe in one estate to... every sort of thing, Paul. I can't even think of examples now.
But 20 people, that's good. 20 people you touched yesterday, yeah.
Well, that's 20 phone calls you take. Yeah. And I suppose I must have interacted personally then with maybe 15 or 20 other people. So that'd be a fairly typical day. You might have an interaction of some description with maybe 40 people every day.
And then you went to work last night.
And then I went to work last night.
So you've had no sleep this night. You're actually talking to me without having had your overnight sleep.
Well, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning now, Paul, so we're still considered. If you imagine if you're on working days and you finished at 8 o'clock at night, it's now only 9 o'clock at night, so, you know, we're still early enough. I'll be going off to bed now very soon for about 5 or 6 hours, and I'll be up again around maybe 3 or 4 o'clock, and around that time my phone will start ringing again and the cycle continues.
John Gilroy, thank you ever so much. It's great to have this insight into your campaign. And I hear this morning, one last thing, that you're in the process of developing a new website, and I look forward to talking to you about that next time.
Yeah, we'll just, I might plug the website when we're here. It's johngilroy.ie.
.ie.
Forgot for a minute.
You're not a .com.
Not a .com, no. johngilroy.ie. It's currently under construction, and if you go into that now, you'll be diverted to a blog. And you will be able to hear this audio boo on that blog almost instantaneously, I think.
Thank you very much, John Gilroy.
Thanks, Bob.